Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Sick.
And it's time to get classy. Why? Why do you always insist?
What?
On doing a razzataz variation on it.
Because life is random, okay? And this is how I'm feeling this week, as everyone can hear right now. And, you know.
You sound fine.
Eh.
Compliment. Take it.
I'll take it, but that doesn't change how I'll take it, but it doesn't change how I feel.
So, yes, Chris is under the weather. He's braving the storm for us all.
Yes. I don't have a fever anymore, and so that's why I feel comfortable with Joel being in a room with me right now.
But Chris was not able to watch Survivor Series.
With you. I watched it on my own. I stormed through.
You have to understand that if it doesn't happen directly in front of me,
then it doesn't happen.
I assume it doesn't exist.
All right. You sound like half of like the people who believe fake news right now. So yeah, I'll apologize now for the way I sound. And I will try my best not to have a coughing fit into the microphone.
Yes, please.
So, yes, Survivor Series happened. Well, before that, let's talk about
Survivor Series weekend happened.
Yes.
Including NXT War Games.
Yes.
As a lovely precursor.
And going into this, I felt like this was the first time. It was a point that I forgot to make last week. It was the point where I felt like both cards stacked up against each other pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, we always have more faith in the TakeOver card than we do the main roster card. But this time I felt pretty good about both.
Well, we talked about on the podcast last week how I've had these past several takeovers. I've not been excited. Like, I've been excited because it's takeover, but there's nothing about, like, that's what's going to make this takeover.
Yeah.
That's the match. And I haven't had that. And I thought I had that a little bit more, partially just because of the build up to some of these.
Right.
Partially just because War Games. Okay, sure.
Yeah, like, I'm totally, like, again, we found out what the rules were. I don't remember how far off I was on the rules last week, but I felt like I was pretty far off.
I still feel like I'm in that, like, I know him well enough to enjoy a match, but don't ask me to explain.
Sure, yeah. And I just knew that the match doesn't officially, like, you can't officially pin or submit anyone until after everybody's entered into the match.
Right.
That's really all you need to know. And if you go over the top out of the cage, then you're disqualified.
Because this version of War Games has no top.
Yeah, I felt like that was an interesting little caveat to it. Like, it is one of the things where, well, why take the roof off of it? And it's like, oh, well, you want to do high flight stuff, and the best way to do that is without the roof.
Yeah.
But you still want to make sure that everyone stays in, so you add that little rule to it. And I thought that was, like, for once, WWE did something that made sense, you know?
Well, what can you expect? Well, it was on NXT.
Yeah, I was about to say, NXT. They tend to make more sense, but whatever. But yeah, like, I honestly, War Games, the match, I didn't really care a whole lot about the buildup, and honestly, there wasn't really a whole lot that made sense. It's just everyone, you know, everyone was mad at Undisputed Era, essentially.
Well, it's very clear that the idea was, like, let's do War Games, and then they worked backwards from there.
Right. And Triple H in the...
Which is fine. That's how 99% of the feuds in the world work.
In the, I believe it was the press conference leading up to War Games, Triple H pretty much admitted as such.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously this is a match he'd been trying to build up, or trying to bring back in some capacity for years now. And so, obviously, when he got the opportunity to do it, he, you know, had the match and then went backwards. And, like, how can we get, you know, X number of three-man teams? So, you can, theoretically, with two rings, you can have more than three-person teams involved in that.
Right.
Especially when, you know, maybe not so much now, but, you know, at least a couple years ago, there was this influx of three-person teams, you know? And you still kind of have that, and, you know, that'll be another way to get another Shield New Day fight going. So, all that being said, getting to the actual show, one of the big highlights, unexpectedly, was Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black.
Yes.
Like, A, we were all, like, confused, yet in, at least for me, I was, you know, confused but intrigued by the story leading into this. I didn't really know what to expect as far as the match goes, but instead, I I was really impressed with the match by both guys.
So let's talk about gimmicks for a second.
Okay.
And there's in this day and age of wrestling, this didn't always hold true. In fact, this didn't hold true until recently, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But watching this, I think it does. A stupid gimmick I'm going to associate with a bad wrestler.
Right.
And I take that, I kind of, other examples of that are like Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Pretty to some degree, where it's like, oh, that's super gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
Like the gimmick is so far removed from the, like, I want to be a good wrestler and champion and best in the world.
Yeah.
Gimmick that 80%, 90% of your top tier guys have, you know, your John Cena's and CM Punk's and Randy Orton's and, you know, Roderick Strong,
mm-hmm,
and Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman now.
Yeah.
And Triple H and these guys, they're, and they have different character types, with, you know, bully and face and can do attitude and cheater and da 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 da. But these are all people.
Yeah.
And then when you get things that aren't people, when you get, oh, it's going to be Prince, it's going to be a dance instructor.
Sure.
It's going to be a cult leader.
Yeah.
It's going to be like when the gimmick is so faro bizarro,
mm-hmm,
then for better or for worse, I'm going to associate that like, that's covering up some level of inability to wrestle.
Right.
And that's not fair.
No.
And part of it is
because, like, a lot of times it's a great wrestler that's just saddled with this awful gimmick and they're just going through their job. Like, good, right, you know, a good example is Terry Taylor in the Red Rooster. Like,
mm-hmm,
he's considered one of the best wrestlers ever, and especially one of the best wrestling coaches.
Uh-huh.
But he spiked his hair up to look like a rooster and he, you know, called or whatever that, however that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times now, it's not so much covering up anything, but
it's not necessarily cover, like trying to mask bad wrestling.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, you're not here for the sports part. You're here for the entertainment part.
Right. And in their eyes, and I don't really blame them, but it's more of like a, hey, this is outlandish, it'll get you noticed, mm-hmm, you know, that kind of thing.
And I get that, and I get that thought process, mm-hmm, and there's definitely merit to that thought process, but just part of this with Velveteen Dream, where I'm like, this dude was a odds-on favorite to win Tough Enough.
Yeah.
This was, you watch the first couple episodes of that season of Tough Enough, you're like, you can just shut the contest down. No, it's Patrick. This is, mm-hmm, he's far and away, he's the one who is meant to be here.
And wasn't he like the youngest too?
I don't remember.
He was super young. Yeah.
He was super young. But he had this heart and soul and drive and strength and skill,
mm-hmm,
and talent and charisma all rolled into, like, that's a guy. That, yeah, is a guy who is 85% of the way there to being, you know, one of your big top guys already.
Mm-hmm.
And then through terrible, dumb rules of the game, he gets kicked out.
Yeah.
Obviously, they hire him anyway, quickly. Good call.
Yeah.
But then, like, this Velveteen Dream thing, you're like, oh, they're saddling with a crappy gimmick.
Yeah.
And he leans into it, and the gimmick's starting to get over.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, somewhere along the way, forgot, like, oh, he's really good.
Yeah.
He's good in the ring.
Well,
he's
see,
good.
And, you know, prior to that, he had been, you know, before the Velveteen Dream character was introduced, he'd just come out there as Patrick Clark,
mm-hmm,
just for a squash match. I think he was a squash match against Nakamura and maybe some others, you know, and so there really wasn't a whole lot to see of him.
Right.
You know, and even the early Velveteen Dream matches were squash matches the other way. And so, again, you didn't really get a good back and forth to get a good, a good sample of what he's capable of.
Right.
You know, and this was really his first real big, well, it definitely is his first feud. And same with Aleister Black. But this is his first, competitive match mm-hmm. he's had in WWE.
Well, and it was two guys knocking it out of the park.
Right. You know, because we knew what Aleister Black was capable of. You know, he has a wow factor to him in the ring. But to see Pat, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, all right, well, Aleister Black is going to basically run circles around him. But that absolutely wasn't the case. Like, they they pretty much, you know, matched each other pretty evenly, you know, as far as skill level.
Yeah.
And, you know, it feels really good for him. But, of course, you know, given his history with, like, Tough Enough and how he was kind of screwed over on that, the same weekend that he, you know, has this big breakthrough match at NXT, it was the same weekend that two other people that got voted out of Tough Enough debuted on the main roster before him.
So,
I mean, yes, there is a little bit of a little bit of a feel-good revenge, a little bit, to know that the two winners of Tough Enough have both been released from the company.
Sarah Lee gone?
Yeah, Sarah Lee gone was a while ago, and then, like, 2 weeks later, announced that she was pregnant.
Huh.
She had a baby with one of the guys from the tag team that Alexa Bliss was with in NXT.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not the one, obviously, that Alexa Bliss is... The Australian... Was it the Australian? No, the Australian is the one that's dating Bliss.
I don't know.
I can't remember their names, which is probably a good indicator on their NXT career, considering they're not... They can't even get on NXT TV anymore.
Yeah. So I couldn't tell you.
Blake and Murphy. I don't know if it was Blake or Murphy, but she had a kid with one of them.
Okay.
I think she's training again. I don't know for the ring, but she's at least training again.
I
don't think WWE's interested.
I completely missed that.
Yeah.
I remember ZZ leaving. I remember Josh leaving because he left.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Like, the big names all left in one form or another. I don't know about
Amanda's still there, isn't she?
Amanda Rose? Yeah, she's one of the ones that debuted yesterday on Raw.
Yeah.
Her and...
I mean, she was the other big name.
Well, she was the other... She was the one of the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only finalist to still be in the company. Because it was her and the MMA chick that I can't remember what her name is. Her NXT name or her WWE name or whatever.
I don't know. But Amanda was the one, like, watching Tough Enough where you're like, ah... Because they almost plucked her out to, like... She'll do good on Total Divas. Like, yeah. It wasn't even a...
And that was the first thing they did, is they signed her to a contract and immediately put her on Total Divas. I don't know if she's still on Total Divas, but, you know, if she wasn't, then she definitely is now.
Yeah.
With her new BFF page. More on that later. Anyway, if it wasn't for the War Games match, mm-hmm. this would have been, like, the most... Like, the memorable match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had... We crowned a new women's champion with the Fatal 4-Way.
Good match.
Yeah. Ember Moon ended up winning.
I still feel like we're not quite into our new phase of NXT women.
Yeah.
It feels like we finally have all the pieces on the table. Now we just need to, like, put them together into
We've got, you know, essentially the big four or five,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, throwing also in Billy Kay, who wasn't in the match, but I still feel like she's in the top tier of the top women's.
But she could easily NXT. Feud with any of the others.
Right, right. And I feel like, if anything, this was more of an elevating moment for Peyton Royce, because I always felt like she was second fiddle to mm-hmm. Billy Kay. But I feel like her being involved in that match and being able to showcase a little bit more elevated her up. So you got the big four or five... And now we're seeing a big, you know, move of other females in NXT that weren't necessarily at the top. And honestly, I feel like it's making way for, or making room for, influx of the women from the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I voiced, you know, optimism that maybe this means they're going to try to sign Toni Storm. But, I mean, I might be just, you know, reaching for the fence here.
Yeah.
Either way, it's like they're coming out of a transition and going into another transition at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they've established the top of the women's division. Now they kind of want to replenish, you know, everything underneath.
Yeah. As per usual, pretty much everything on the TakeOver card is a match worth watching. They... Mm-hmm. put together a top to bottom quality show.
Yeah.
And just like that's kind of to be expected at this point.
Sure, sure. And, you know, with a lot of us not really knowing what to expect with the War Games match, mm-hmm. I felt like they knocked that one out of the park. Like,
I do too.
That was a resounding success, and I would be surprised if there isn't a War Games match on the main roster within the next 6 months.
Really? Six months?
I mean, they really like the shark cage thing, and that was added like 2-3 months later.
All right.
I would not be surprised if there was a War Games match on the main roster within 6 months.
Bold prediction.
I'm just saying.
So
maybe, you know, or either that or at the very least next year at Survivor Series, you know, where they can have all these three-man teams from both sides be involved in this match or something. Okay. And then you can have, like, the bigger teams that is just two teams but a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
So I think the original one was, like, two teams with five each or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And it is weird for you know, at first of, you know, going through the undercard when mm-hmm. there's two rings there.
Yeah.
But honestly, you get used to it really quickly.
Yeah, it was fine. And part of it is because I'm not watching it live. I'm watching it on a screen where creative camera shots are only going to show me one ring at a time, except for a few select shots.
Right.
So, yeah, you fall into it pretty quickly and like, just a wrestling match. I'm good.
Yeah. But yeah, now that War Games match was really good, I thought. I think even Meltzer said that was the best weapons match of the year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and it didn't take place at the Tokyo Dome, so that's high praise coming from him. And for me, like, it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
As far as it's not nearly like my match of the year, but it's up there.
Mm-hmm. That was a solid match.
I enjoyed it a lot, and this is gonna be a takeover where, you know, I kind of circle in my mind of one that I'm gonna kind of go back and watch, you know. Once we get towards the end of the year when we have to come up with, you know,
when you start
awards.
Coming up with, the classes.
Yeah. So, moving on to Survivor Series. Overall, I feel like it was a show that delivered and then maybe kind of crawled across the finish line with that main event.
Okay, let's just jump to the straight to the main event. Because that's so, mm-hmm. The main event happens. And immediately go online, and the whole reaction is like, well, Triple H has his shovel back.
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da. Triple H can't stand for anybody else to go over. And so, yes, Triple H won the match. Triple H was the person who pinned the last person. But didn't that match put over Braun Strowman?
It put over Braun Strowman in a big way. Yeah.
Like,
it solidified him as a top face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excuse me. The past few weeks, like, they've kind of alluded to it, but he's still kind of like riding that line a little bit.
Yeah,
and, you know, is he a face? Is he a heel? And, you know, maybe they might try to make him, you know, the Roman tweener that everyone hates.
I feel like Triple H did very little in this match. He spent most of his time.
He did not as little as John Cena, but he did very little.
Right. And just so this whole like hatred, and I 9 times out of 10 get the hatreds to Triple H burying the roster in service of Triple H.
Right.
That is a fun bandwagon to be on. I enjoy my time on it greatly. I don't feel like this is one of those times.
No, I fully agree with you. I feel like it's the anger is unjustified this time.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. And that's kind of solidified the next night when you literally have Triple H backing away from Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
You know? When have you ever seen, you know, Triple H back away from a dude, even when he's supposed to be a cowardly heel? You know? Not mm-hmm. like that. So I feel like that part, you know, is unjustified. I do think the weird, like, turn and then turn back that Triple H did, I felt like that was really dumb. And Braun Strowman had a very good reason for having that confused as all get out look on his face, because that's I had too.
I was fine with that, just on account of like, oh, that's a, you know, he hates Kurt Angle and he wants to get the pin anyway, and I was fine with it in a convoluted kind of like wrestling is wrestling kind of way.
Yeah.
I mean, and because they didn't come out the next night on Raw and completely try and justify it. Right. Like, I feel like if they had tried to justify, like, oh, I did this because da-da-da-da-da-da, I was like, you're just making it worse.
Right.
And because they didn't do that, which I'm like, okay, I can draw my own conclusions now
that
Triple H just doesn't like Kurt Angle, which we have evidence of in the past, and Triple H, you know, wants the glory. And so, but this thing is like, that even leans more into, like, okay, it feels like the character Triple H is burying the entire roster, but not the person Triple H.
Yeah.
So it feels like all this, you know, anger at, like, Triple H always burying guys, Triple H demanding he gets the top spot on the card. It's like, I feel like you're playing into exactly what you're supposed to be playing into on this one, guys.
No, absolutely.
Which is cool. Like, again, I'm not here to try and, like, beat the WWE and be like, I saw through it.
Right.
You wanted me to cheer this way, and I'm cheering the other way. I win, you lose.
Sure.
But it feels like that was a lot more intentional than people are giving it credit for.
Probably.
John Cena was technically in this match.
Yeah.
He
wasn't wearing a SmackDown shirt. He was wearing his own new shirt that he had to get over for merchandise reasons. And
yeah, just like that,
didn't really do a whole lot.
That feels like a waste of a John Cena appearance.
Yeah, they could have just thrown Jason Jordan in that.
Yeah,
or not sorry, no, Jason Jordan was Raw.
They could have thrown anybody.
Rusev,
Ziggler. You know.
Yeah, literally anybody. Yeah, and there was no real like mention or involvement in both Raw or SmackDown of Cena at all. Like it just. They just wanted another name on the card.
Especially when Cena, you spent his entire last feud making sure we all knew that Cena was a free agent.
Yeah.
And now he's got some brand loyalty.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Like he just suddenly found his brand loyalty in one of his many pockets. Yeah, it just felt weird and wasted.
Yeah, especially when he comes up not doing anything, basically.
Right. You know, and I you know, it's hard for me to not be totally salty over Nakamura being the first one eliminated, but he did a lot up until that point.
He did.
He was laying down a lot of offense, so I can only be so mad about that.
It was the kind of thing where, like, he started laying everybody out. I'm like, this is a build-up to his pin.
Sure, sure.
Oh,
and, you know, his elimination was, you know, at the hands of the guy, the most dominant guy in the match.
It was.
You know, so you've also got to build his, you know, base somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. It was just something overall just fell flat with me in that match.
I see, at the end of the day, I liked that match.
Okay.
I liked what they did with Braun Strowman. I'm being more and more won over every week by this guy.
I agree.
He had a match with Jason Jordan this week on Raw.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
That sounds like the worst idea, and they went full steam ahead with it. I was dreading this thing for like a solid hour.
Yeah. Quick tangent. Do you think they're turning Jason anytime soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
By the end of the year.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay, cool.
But like it comes time to have the match, and it's just
Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman's gonna just throw a dude around for a while. And I'm like, you know what?
I'm okay with
something
that,
about this works for me.
Like, you know, a guy has earned his respect from us when we stop using dumb fake names for him.
Yes.
Like, that is the true sign of us just giving him the class ring attire stamp of approval.
Yeah, that is a tip of the hat there.
Yeah, that, and we figured that if you want him on our podcast someday, we should stop making fun of his name.
Still not a great name.
You know what?
But I don't think he's the one that picked it.
There are worse names. Like Mojo Rowley. So, you know, at the end of the day, he is a very Braun Strowman. But aside from that, moving on from your boos, like clearly, you know, Match of the Night goes to Brock and AJ.
Brock and AJ.
Yeah. It served both guys incredibly well. You know, again, like AJ mentioned something on SmackDown, and he's like, yeah, he lost, but Brock was the one limping away from the ring, you know? And AJ, you know, was doing pretty good. Like, he was moving around really good tonight.
I mean, you have what you have this match that is part Thor versus Hulk,
right?
And then part Oberyn versus the Mountain,
right?
And it's just that match felt very all out,
yeah.
And so for all the complaints about Brock not caring and Brock just showing up for the paycheck,
he didn't just show up at the Survivor Series.
Sold his little monster rage heart out.
Yeah, absolutely.
He turns straight purple in that clutch.
Yeah.
The limping away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brock showed up and did a great job.
I felt like we hadn't really seen that kind of Brock since the SummerSlam match against Punk.
Yeah.
You know? And even then I feel like he sold more this time around than he did for Punk.
He just seemed more invested in this match for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It felt like just his throws were a little bit more pointed.
Yeah.
His more hits crisp. Were a little bit harder. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just something that AJ just brings out of people, you know?
It might be. I feel like you do that. We do that a lot with AJ. We're like, this match of blank person versus AJ, they must have been really into this one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. AJ's got that. A lot of comparisons are made, but he's got that Shawn Michaels appeal to it, where you know he makes his opponent look great on top of making himself look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like there's not that many people in WWE or in wrestling that can do that.
Yeah,
you know, at least that successfully, that consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, it was the big, you know, the big match for me. Shield versus Usos was good.
Shield versus Usos was good. Let's talk about the Shield for a minute.
Okay.
And this bleeds into Raw.
Okay.
So, Shield is back. We're very excited the Shield is back. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the Shield back for a while. Now, this isn't the same Shield that it was a few years ago.
Namely, like what we touched on a few weeks ago, Roman Reigns is like credited as the leader now.
Yeah, and that it's Roman case. And his friends. But originally, it was, if anybody, it was Dean and his friends.
Right.
Early on in the Shield.
And once in a while, Seth and his friends.
Yeah.
And then Roman would come in and say, believe that in the segment.
Roman was the strong, silent, heavy.
Sure.
In the back. And now it is Roman and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is okay with that. It's still the Shield.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, because something I noticed on Raw Monday night is Roman feels a lot more loose. Like, he feels loose on the mic. Like, he doesn't feel as uptight and suffering succotash. Like, he's kind of rolling with it. And maybe he learned something in the feud against John Cena or something, but it just feels like when he's got his two friends in the ring with him, you know, he's able to kind of run with it a little bit more a little bit better.
Maybe. But I will also point out that when Roman won this week, spoiler alert, he didn't really get a bad reaction.
No.
Like, it's Roman winning a title, which, you know, I'm used to hearing a chorus of boos hit that.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't think I've ever seen Roman celebrate a title victory like that before. Like, he was really excited by this.
Yeah.
You know, we certainly didn't see him excited at all when he had a U.S. belt. Let's be honest.
No, U.S. belt was a demotion, and he treated it as such.
Right. The Intercontinental belt, like, he just felt like he just won the World Series.
Yeah.
You know? And it felt kind of genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Like, maybe, like, yes, being associated with the Shield now is a big help for, you know, for a positive fan reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it, honestly, has to do with, like, him just feeling like a real person. He doesn't feel like a robot.
I wonder if you could. So we've talked a lot about the Shield Triple Threat is the dream match.
Right. I felt like it was going to be the main event for WrestleMania in Dallas before all the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, as we're fast approaching WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about, like, well, Shield's got to break up at some point before then. Now, they technically don't,
They don't have
like,
to, yeah.
They still have a division line between Roman and the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could be like, the Shield, I mean, DX did it all the time. The McMahon family did it all the time where they were like, oh, we're in four feuds right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have Roman feud with somebody while Dean and Seth feud with other people. And they're still like, the Shield's just in two feuds right now.
They're still associated with each other and they still have each other's backs, you know?
Yeah. I would like to see that. I would like to see the Shield survive through WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to see a Shield triple threat match while they're still members of the Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had them have a triple threat match once before.
I mean, what was it? Shawn and Triple H were still together with DX, and they had a championship match, or a triple threat championship match against John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, John Cena beat them both, but still. Yeah, but it hasn't been, they haven't done that in a long time.
Right, and I would like to see that. I would like to see this match affect and evolve the group, but not necessarily break them up.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot you could do with that.
Yeah.
So.
And honestly, like, I would also like to see something like that with New Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, that's partially because I want to see them do just, like, singles stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are kind of clamoring for that. And they don't always have to be in the same feuds with each other, you know? Mm-hmm. They can be in different feuds.
It's the difference between a faction and a team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when team, you're constantly fighting.
Good point, yeah.
A faction is people who have each other's backs. It's people who are, I'm doing this for my brothers in arms, da-da-da-da.
And think of it this way. When they have someone that is, you know, it was proven that anytime they're on the screen, it's a pretty substantial rating spike when they're on the team. You saw it with Punk, and when that happened, they had Punk in like 3-4 segments on Raw. And they have some weeks where the guys from the Shield are doing that. Well, you can still have the Shield together, but if they're involved in different feuds, that means multiple segments during Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. Problem solved.
So
you can spread the love. You can get more eyes on other guys that they're having feuds with in all these different segments, and you get to build more people up.
Yep. I know it's early. I mean, comparatively, the Shield, this was kind of, because TLC was marred by sickness, this was kind of their big, like,
big debut.
We're back match. Yep. But even though it's like just starting, I'm already like, no, let's extend it.
Yeah.
Cause why not? It's been a whole week.
Yeah.
There was the female Survivor Series five-way champ.
Yeah.
Challenge.
Raw also won that because, you know, Asuka.
I mean, the entire match was a showcase for Asuka.
Yeah. Also, it did feel weird. And again, I don't necessarily disagree with Asuka not being in the championship picture just yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she still needs some time to be introduced to the main audience or the main roster audience.
Right.
but it did feel weird the next night on Raw where all these women are lining up to be the next person or the next, you know, number one contender. And I'm sitting there like, okay, well, you're eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't even on the show, Mickie James, and you've lost like twice now to Alexa Bliss. Sasha, maybe, yeah, because she was still on. I don't think she got eliminated.
Yeah, she was still standing.
Right. And, like, yeah, where's Asuka?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, she had a match, like, 2 seconds before that, but still, it just felt weird, you know. But, again, really all they needed was a match for Paige and her two new best friends to interrupt. And, of course, one being Mandy Rose, who barely ever showed up on NXT.
Yeah.
And then the other girl who I can't remember her name. It was the MMA woman that they're like, they try to make her look like a big deal and a big legit deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shayna Baszler just kind of blew all that out of the water when she showed up at the Mae Young Classic. Everyone's like, okay, we're supposed to take this other girl seriously?
Yeah.
Like, we've got a monster over here.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And that's why I can't remember her dumb name. You know, it is weird because Paige was a judge on Tough Enough. These two girls were
Tough Enough contestants
that didn't win. And I made the joke that, you know, if they're making a faction of Tough Enough rejects, then I'm going to be disappointed if Velveteen Dream isn't revealed as the leader. You
yeah.
know? Because he was the ultimate, you know.
I mean, wouldn't Miz be the leader?
Well, I meant from that season.
Oh, okay.
That one season. They're all in the same season.
I was like, Miz could definitely swoop in and be like,
And I'm assuming
my faction now.
Yeah, and I'm assuming at least it would be a big missed opportunity if that isn't like one of their main motivations for why they're teaming up together and attacking people.
Yep.
You know. But in the end, it's good to see Paige back. You know, and I'm kind of honestly, I'm kind of proud of WWE for kind of for sticking by her.
Yeah.
You know, through the whole all the leaks and everything. Because WWE, knowing them as we do, the moment anyone is involved in any sort of controversy or something that just that is uncomfortable, they tend to distance themselves away. Now, you know, it's been a while. It's been a few months and everything since.
It has been a while.
So it's not as much on the forefront of everyone's minds as it was around WrestleMania when they were letting Xavier have it.
It also helped, honestly, that there's been rumors that she's been coming back for a while.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Some pictures were taken last week, maybe the week before, of her outside the arena.
And I don't know how much of it was on everyone's mind because, you know, it's a lot of it is, you know, what's ever happening most recently.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of stuff with her and Del Rio that come out in the, you know, the dirt sheets and other stuff, other controversial things. And so it's more like she was more associated with that. And now everyone knows they're not together anymore. So everyone's like, we feel great for her. Yay for her. We're happy that she, you know, she's recovered and WWE stuck by her.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I honestly thought for sure she was going to get released.
Yeah.
You know?
So I want to address something about NXT real quick. That,
okay.
The way that the events happened today kind of brought to light.
Mm-hmm.
So NXT is supposed to be a training ground still.
Yes.
That's how it's presented to us is we are more or less getting a peek behind the curtains at the training ground.
Yeah.
It's not that anymore. It's just the third brand. Now, it's the rookie brand. It's the Farm League. But it's legit the third brand. And that comes from we've gotten to the point. We've well passed the point. I don't know when we passed it, but we are definitely past the point now. Where your character from NXT is what you go up to Raw with or SmackDown. It's what you
to some
go
effect,
up to the main roster. So if you remember, we went to see Raw years ago, and Bray Wyatt had a match.
Yeah.
And he came out.
And that was when, like, it was the very early stages of that character went during FCW.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have Titantron or anything. And
we didn't even know what his name was.
He was this, like, dancing, flamboyant, Jimmy Buffett-loving kind of character.
Yeah.
And just... that feels like the kind of thing that you work on and you're fine and you whittle into Bray Wyatt, which happened, but...
Now he's like a warlock with dreads.
Well, it's just we have these people who have come, you know, we're from NXT with almost no backstory, and it feels like that they're interesting and new. The NXT call ups are a lot more like, oh yeah, that guy's been there for a while. I guess it's time for here.
Yeah.
And some of it, part of it is. You have mixed feelings about call-ups now. Where you're like, yes, Nakamura is going to the main roster. I don't trust this main roster to use him.
Right.
Yes, Bobby Roode, I love him. He's going to the main roster. He's one of like 50,
right?
You know, late 30s, early 40s, beefy, muscly white guy. And so like, what are we going to do with him?
Turn him face and make his character incredibly bland.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like Bobby Roode can't show up as another character.
No.
Now, Bobby Roode also has made a name for himself
elsewhere.
under Bobby Roode elsewhere. That's part of what WWE's paying for is to get his name.
Yeah.
So I get that, but these guys can't use NXT to scrap stuff. Be like, this isn't working.
No.
We need to go back to the drawing board. Because everything in NXT is recorded, because just because it's a third brand now.
Yeah.
And I feel like we are safely in that point. We're like, this is the third brand.
Yeah.
I fully agree. And you can argue about like whether it's on par or what the, you know,
really
exact
like
rankings
the
is.
The training ground now is Performance Center and the local, like, NXT Florida shows.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
where they'll have, like, some of the main names in NXT show up once in a while in, like, the main event.
Yeah.
But the majority of it is Performance Center people who aren't necessarily on the show every week yeah. or once
well,
in a while.
NXT's canon now, whatever yeah. you want to call it. NXT is, yeah. which FCW wasn't.
No.
Guys who, you know, were champions in FCW would come and win their first WWE championship on the main roster.
Mm-hmm. Cause like, and it shows you like the growth from, you know, even from a few weeks, from a few years ago when you had like when the Shield debuted, you know, it took them a few seconds yeah. to, for Michael Cole to finally be like, oh, I recognize these guys. This is, you know, blah, 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 blah from NXT. Like I, and it, but now it's like, immediately, oh, it's NXT's Kevin Owens
right.
or something like that.
The call-ups are being treated like Chris Jericho coming over from WCW.
Right.
Or other people coming. I mean, that's what they're being treated
like. Switching from one known brand to another.
Yes.
Yeah.
It
feels... Here, let's put it in more like modern day. Less than being called out from the unknown to the known, it's like the Superstar Shakeup.
Yeah.
Going from Raw to SmackDown, mm-hmm. you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that much more impactful mm-hmm. than that. Anything else on Survivor Series that we really need to touch on?
Well, I did want to talk, speaking on debuts, on NXT we had some other debuts. We had Ruby Riott, which I felt like that came out of nowhere. Like, I felt like she was going to be part of the new main...
Oh, on SmackDown.
On SmackDown, yep.
Yeah. Okay, I'm back to where you're
talking about. Yeah, yeah. Ruby Riott had her call up. And again, like, I felt like she was going to be that next wave of top card talent for NXT.
Uh-huh.
Instead, she shows up with Liv Morgan.
Okay.
Which, you know, again, like, she's had some success on NXT. So, you know, she's definitely been on NXT more than the two NXTers from that debuted on Raw the night before.
Right.
And then Sarah Logan, who had only appeared on the Mae Young Classic and like one episode of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, she's very polished and she's been, you know, in wrestling in Japan for a long time, but still felt like a weird choice, you know.
Well, I like,
but mean, I'm okay with it. But
you have to remember, like, mm-hmm. Braun Strowman, who is now basically face to the company,
yeah.
showed up out of nowhere, basically,
and had wrestled like. I think I forgot what the count was, but I think he wrestled like 5-6 matches mm-hmm. on non-televised NXT events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in Adam Rose's, you know, Never Ending Dance Party one time. Like, that was his TV debut.
Yeah. Now I think he goes on by Aldo Rose now. I think he said something on Twitter recently where he posted a photo with him and like all these Rosebuds who are now like top.
Oh,
card.
Yeah.
And he's like, I guess I was the best manager of all time. And honestly, I was like, I mean, technicality, yes, but
yeah,
come on.
I mean, solid gag, sir.
Oh, sure. Like, it's a solid Twitter comment.
Yeah.
And so me personally, I'm a little bit more interested in Ruby Riott.
I am interested in Ruby Riott.
Yeah. And then coming in as heels, essentially, like, they came in, their debut was a backstage segment where Naomi was, you know, in the makeup chair complaining that they lost to Raw or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ruby Riott just pops up like, oh, hi. Yeah, I'm here to pretty much take over. And then, you know, beat up on them. Becky Lynch comes running in to try to help, and they beat up on her.
Yeah.
And then the women's championship match between Charlotte and Natalya later that night gets interrupted by the same three women to come and attack both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting.
I mean, you got a little bit of, like, Ladies Nexus.
A little bit of a vibe, like, you know, and again, like, while this is happening, you know, because it's not necessarily identical, but it's close to what we just seen on Raw with Paige and her two NXTers to come in and just, you know, wreck shop. And I feel like that can't be a coincidence, you know? Unless it absolutely is.
I mean, A, it totally can be.
Oh,
but
sure.
But B,
sure.
I don't think it is either. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But
I think something is connected in all this, that a dark-haired, pale female wrestler on both shows is leading a team of women to attack the current division.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's...
I do feel like there's some all-will-be-revealed aspects of this.
Sure. And while that was happening on Tuesday, and thinking about that, once again, I was like, you know what? Joel's right. And then NXT Invasion would be great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like maybe a women's NXT Invasion is what's going on. I don't know. But again, more will be revealed. But that's pretty much all I've got for this past week in news. I did have something I want to bring up that I had been thinking about really quickly. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, our favorites, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, it was Shawn Michaels for me. Obviously, we both love CM Punk. We don't have that anymore. I've been pretty open about just how in the can I am for Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
And you were for Dolph Ziggler. And we've kind of alluded that you're kind of like, eh, I don't really care anymore. And I've been wondering.
I'm hurt on Dolph Ziggler. Sure.
So I'm wondering, Joel, because I couldn't really answer that myself in my own head. Who is your favorite right now? Like, who is your guy or woman?
Interesting question.
Yeah. Is this something you haven't really thought about?
Yeah, and I have, and it feels really silly.
Yeah.
But like, it's a little bit about like starting a new relationship. You're
sure.
Like,
sure.
Dolph hurt me so much. I don't know if I'm ready.
Well, while you're thinking, let me kind of explain my thing. You know, I went from CM Punk to Daniel Bryan, obviously, and that didn't last long either. And at that point, you know, I was getting more and more invested and interested in indie wrestling in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started, you know, really getting into Nakamura. So he became my favorite independent wrestler. And then, of course, he went to WWE and that ruined that. I'm like, well, dang it.
Yeah.
You know, so for me now, it's Nakamura, my favorite WWE.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very disappointed in that they're not doing anything, even still to this week.
Yep.
And now I think my favorite independent wrestler it has become Marty Scurll. Even though I liked his stuff more when he was on his own.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the villain kind of feels like a good loner. And granted, I still like his Bullet Club stuff, but I don't know. That's just me.
Okay.
So for me, I've got like two categories of my favorite WWE, favorite everyone else, every other company.
Okay. Can I put Johnny Mundo as my favorite
indie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because now he's Johnny Impact. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I mean, I know we don't really keep up with what's going on with
Lucha
Impact Wrestling, but he's Johnny Impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I almost, because I'm starting my Christmas,
uh-huh.
My Christmas buying stuff for gifts. I almost got you a Johnny Mundo shirt.
Okay.
But I almost got you Johnny Mundo glasses.
In all fairness, like, he must be happy. He must be doing great for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the appeal of getting to be the top star of a smaller thing. Big fish, and it small also, pond kind of thing.
Also being in these other wrestling companies that have, like, you know, looser schedules or whatever. Because he still has a lot of interest in stunt work and acting and everything. And this gives him the availability to explore all of that.
I get that. I 100% get that. Mm-hmm. We've also had enough, you know, indie wrestlers talk about, like, hey, look, I'm making more indie than I ever could with WWE.
Pretty much as soon as you're involved in Bullet Club, you're making good bank.
Yeah. Well, and
good for them.
And you have guys, you know, who are out of WWE, like, I got that WWE tag.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been left years ago.
Yeah.
Because I can make this on my own schedule, my own boss, da 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 da. So I get that, but, like, man, it feels like John Morrison and WWE just made for each other.
Yeah. He seemed, especially for the time that he was in WWE,
mm-hmm.
it just felt like he's the most WWE fan, like WWE University type guy.
Yep.
He should have been Johnny Universe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he should have. So favorite WWE guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Wow.
Okay, so...
And granted, like, it, you don't come up with your favorite overnight or within the few minutes that I put this on you.
Well, you look at the last two guys that were the ones, which were CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And they were both this kind of like, I'm picking the next big guy.
Yeah.
I see it's going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And like with Punk, you know, I was right to an extent.
Yeah.
Because I remember.
I mean, he was a top guy.
Okay, yeah. But like, I remember. when the Daniel Bryan stuff happened.
Yeah.
And this was right. This was before CM Punk left.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like, I remember having this realization of like, I want it to be Punk. It's going to be Bryan.
Yeah.
Like I no, the next top guy. Yeah. I remember. I want this to be CM Punk's going to be the guy to succede Cena. It's going to be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I remember like feeling like
it was a resentment.
It was like it was a happy sad thing.
Yeah. No. I had the same feeling. Especially leading into whenever CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were in like this weird tag team at the end of the year. It was, you know, the winter before Punk left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just sitting there thinking like, you know, this should be CM, like all the attention that Daniel Bryan is getting, this should be CM Punk's. Like, why is CM Punk not getting this fan reaction that Daniel Bryan's getting? You know, a little bit of resentment. But, you know, obviously that was that bias kind of clouding a lot of that. And then, you know, eventually we're like, oh, okay, yeah, I see that. And then, you know, CM Punk wasn't there. I'm like, okay, fine. Well, we might as well, you know, get behind this guy then.
But I had that with CM Punk. Mm-hmm. And then Dolph Ziggler was like this. I see him as like, this guy has it. He's going to break out. He's going to go. And just teased in my heart, played back and forth. And I had to like come to terms where I'm sitting here being like, nah,
because it wasn't until fairly recently that you kind of finally came to terms with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's fully understandable. Like, I didn't say that to like, you know, demean you or anything.
No.
Because it's one of those things where it's just like, you finally just come to that realization.
And it's the thing is like, it would take the tiniest of pushes for me to be like, dude, still got a chance.
Yeah.
I can fully believe if I came in on this podcast being like, you guys, Dolph Ziggler's it. Like, I'm back on board.
Right.
But in both of those cases, it's like this, like, yeah, that's the guy. That's I see this being my guy for the next 5, 6, 7 years as he builds his way to the top.
Yeah.
And I think about, like, all right, who'd be my favorite right now? And it's people like AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose. I'm like, they're at the top.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say, like, they can't climb higher.
Right.
But
with a, you know, with a guy like AJ, he's already 40, you know? So you're like, you know, this is a guy I'm going to cheer for the next 5, 6 years. I think he said on a radio show that he's, you know, planning on pretty much retiring in like within 2.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's stuff like, it is important to note. So this thing came out sometime last week that's like, here's the ages of the Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Teams
where Strowman was the youngest and he was 34,
right? And it was as this indictment of like, WWE does not endorse young wrestlers. They go old hat. This is, you know, a crime against the industry. Da da da. And okay, Kurt Angle, Triple H, Shane McMahon, like those guys, you can have some argument of like, should they be in this match?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I guess apparently since they were the entire crux of the story,
yeah.
But it is important to remember that different wrestlers hit their peak at different ages.
Absolutely.
And you can't find a more perfect example of this than Shawn Michaels, you know, being old enough, being broke enough to retire, be gone several years, come back, and have a second career that not only dwarfed his first career, but at his age dwarfed everybody else's career around that time.
Absolutely.
All of the matches where people were like, yeah, that match, are part of that second career.
I always forget how old he was when he came back, but he wasn't, you know, he was solidly in his 30s.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and again, like, at the same time, I still consider Braun Strowman a young guy within WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's not been wrestling that long.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe like a few months before he debuted with the Wyatt family, you know, and he was with the Wyatt family for, I want to say, about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's been on his own for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So basically 2-3 years and he's already like, you kind of a no brainer for that situation with Survivor Series. Like, yeah, of course he's going to be on that team. Like, look at him. Like, look at what he's done. Look at the year he's had. Mm-hmm. You know, he's skyrocketed so much within the last year.
Yeah. He's
that
one
it would have been
say,
a crime to leave him off.
Yeah, has got a lot left in the tank.
Yeah.
But no, but like, so you look at the kind of area where I would be looking to pick a new favorite, and it's kind of the Jason Jordan level.
Yeah.
And I don't see anybody there where I'm like latching on, like this is what I'm looking for. I mean, and Nakamura kind of fits there too.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode kind of fits there.
Yeah.
And these aren't guys I dislike. And it might just be a little bit of like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready to put myself out there again and pick a new favorite.
You've been hurt. You've been hurt many times.
And so, yeah. So I don't have an answer for you today. Okay. I'm sorry. But
think on it.
You're waiting for this buildup to
No. It was curiosity, you know. And again, like, I wasn't sure if it's something that you had even thought about. And I guess it's just something that you just didn't even realize that you didn't have a favorite.
Well,
right now.
It was the kind. I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But it. I mean, if I had to pick, like, right now, who's your favorite, it'd be AJ Styles.
Okay.
Which would be a perfectly respectable choice.
Sure.
But, you know, you kind of want that, like, joy of building up through a you know.
We should find a younger guy, like, on NXT or whatever, that we're just going to hedge our bets on. You know, it's like, this is going to be the guy, and if it's not... Oh, well, you know, then we could have an older guy that's our favorite that we know is not going to be around for too much longer.
And so, well, the fun of it is, you know, I have hundreds of hours of recordings of me talking and making predictions and stuff. So, like, you can go back and you can hear me be like, Cian Almas is the next Rock if he'll change his name.
Right.
Like, I was charmed my pants off at that live show we went at.
Yeah.
And this is seriously... For those who weren't listening at the time, this was a live show, very beginning, just signed.
Mm-hmm. Having a match against Austin Aries, I believe.
Yeah. He didn't have entrance music. He had his name in, like, Times New Roman font on the screen. They had nothing for him. And he came out and he hit that ring. And I was like, this is quality in-ring charisma.
Yeah. And honestly, we hadn't seen that until War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, War Games, he brought it.
Yeah.
You know, and Zelina has really, like, kind of brought it out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's hitting a stride. So honestly, he's still not a bad bet.
He's not a bad bet.
No.
Velveteen Dream, I mean, Patrick is the other one.
When I said that, you know, we need to, like, you know, hedge our bets and, like, win on all, so I had Velveteen Dream in mind.
Well,
it might be.
And that's the thing is, like, I'm sure.
And that's before we find out how the main roster is going to ruin him.
I don't remember what, you know, what all I said about who all I said at. When we were watching Tough Enough, we were recapping Tough Enough on a weekly basis. But I remember being like, Patrick's the guy. If there's a guy on this roster, it's Patrick. Patrick is your next champion superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And
at the very least, seeing his dedication and his passion for wrestling and for WWE, he's their next Miz, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and that might put a certain ceiling on him, but it gives you a solid guy for a long time coming, or a long time after this.
Well, and, like, with the right whatever je ne sais quoi, Miz is also John Cena.
Right.
As far as, like, passion, loyalty, company dedication.
Right, yeah.
But that goes back to my point with the issue with NXT just being a third brand at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something in Patrick where I'm like, let me follow this guy. I saw something in Almas where I'm like, let me follow this guy.
Yeah.
Except his name is stupid.
Right.
But he can't change it now.
Yeah.
He is NXT champion of that. Yeah. He will now be going.
He could have changed it when they saw that the CN character wasn't working.
Right.
Once they introduced Zelina and he started building momentum, and especially now that he's won the NXT championship, he's kind of solidified in that. And it's fine as long as he's, you know, he's obviously great in the ring, and this character that they're building now is good enough to kind of, like, overshadow how dumb of a name that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is Velveteen Dream is your favorite no matter what, or no matter what you say from here at this point on.
Honestly, and thinking about it right now, I think the person that fits best is Asuka.
It's not a bad idea.
As
I know that she's not terribly young, but...
But as far as, like, somebody who's definitely not a top guy, somebody who's not...
Who's got a presence that can make you excited.
But he has the thing where you're like, let's get hyped because it's an Asuka mask.
The X Factor, yeah.
Yeah. That she probably fits that best thing.
Yeah.
If I were to put myself out there again.
And honestly, like, there's very few people who legit have that kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Asuka, AJ, and Braun, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Was Nakamura, but that's kind of taken a hit these last few months.
It has.
Because I place all the blame at Creative's feet on that one. That and the fact that they haven't had him do anything for 2 months.
They have. I mean, it is frustrating that his first match in the company is still his best match.
Yeah, it is.
Who else?
For whatever reason, yeah.
Who else can you say that about?
I
nobody. Nobody. I'm assuming. I can think of I'm assuming the answer is nobody.
Joel, because I know you know, pull the curtain back. Joel hasn't had a chance to watch SmackDown yet. They had a lumberjack match to mm-hmm. end SmackDown. New Day versus Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Nakamura's only involvement in the show was as a lumberjack.
Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
Mm-hmm. Granted, last week, his only involvement in SmackDown was when the Raw invasion happened. He came out to fight in that. Only involvement. And then before that, I don't think he was even on the show for about 2 weeks before that. So, yeah, that's what's happening right now with... My favorite, so.
I mean, just to rub salt in that wound.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Just watch SmackDown each week,
mm-hmm.
and just at the like 8:30, 9 o'clock mark, just think this question. Just think, what would New Japan be doing with him right now?
Yeah, he would be murdering everyone. Granted, he might not be winning every match because I think they want to put more emphasis behind Naito now.
Yeah.
But
just like if he had never
signed. But he would still be like, you know.
If he had been.
He was still having big matches and, getting a lot of eyes on a growing promotion.
Yeah.
And instead he's. Lumberjack. I'm assuming like.
He's a lumberjack and that's okay.
I had been like. Justifying it in my head, like maybe they've been saving him for the dark match to make sure the fans don't go home after 205 or you know during 205 live, because that's what they had done with AJ when it felt like they were like, you know, all this stuff was going on SmackDown and everyone's like, well, where's AJ? You know, in this weird yeah. feud against Baron Corbin, like he's not really here. He's like in backstage segments,
mm-hmm.
but he's not really doing anything. And you notice after a while, I was like, I haven't seen AJ wrestle on SmackDown in a long time.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's why it's because they were saving him for that dark match. So the fans don't go home. I have a feeling that's what they're doing with Nakamura now. Or at least I'm hoping so, that they view him as important enough to be in that role right now.
I am reserving judgment to see where Nakamura lands on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of people are assuming that it's going to be AJ versus Nakamura.
Yeah, and I feel like AJ versus Nakamura, even mm-hmm. without the title, even though it should be the title,
it should be
even
title,
without
yeah.
the title, is... all but guaranteed show stealer.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll be something. So I'm going to reserve frustration. Like, I'm bottling it up.
Yeah.
So if frustrations come out, it'll come out in a huge explosion. But right now, I'm reserving frustrations until let me see how WrestleMania
that is
plans
the Joel Leonard
out.
Coping mechanism, everyone. if you're taking notes at home, if you have problems or you have things that you don't like, bottle it up until an opportune time and then explode all over the place.
That is not the worst way to handle frustrations at fake entertainment.
That is a Joel Leonard thought. Chris Sanders does not comply or agree with that sentiment. Please do not bottle up your emotions and choose whatever time you deem necessary to explode.
If WrestleMania shakes out right, it'll all go away. It'll be like, all
right. So Joel Leonard right here is endorsing a...
gambling method.
Murder spree is okay if it happens on the day that WrestleMania occurs.
No, this is a gambling. I'm gambling with my emotions.
If something that you don't like happens at WrestleMania, you are free and clear to murder however you deem is necessary.
Fortunately, one of us is editing that, and that's your voice saying that.
Pretty sure I'm saying Joel Leonard is endorsing all of this.
It's very easy to cut that part out.
You're not that good at editing audio.
I'm 100%. I'm not that committed to the bit, but I'm absolutely good enough of an editor to edit that out.
I guess we will see.
All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get an episode every single week. You can give us a rating of
5 murder sprees.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff will really help out the podcast.
If you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.